Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. So just before we get, just before I get into my amazing message, what? So Rodney Howard Brown is coming to San Diego. Are there any Africans in the? And Rodney Howard Brown is from Africa. So next Friday night and Saturday morning, he's doing two services in the morning, I think 10 and 12 or around about there. But I really want to encourage you guys. He is without a doubt, if not the most anointed man of God on planet Earth. Really, he is such an incredible man of God, incredible integrity. I've known him for like 14 years personally and 22 years been following his ministry. I've stayed at his house. I've traveled with him. He's such a gifted speaker, preacher, but the presence of God in his meetings is amazing. The gifts of the Spirit are amazing. Signs and wonders. The joy of the Lord is like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. And he has an incredible sense of humor. And the fire of God, and he has an amazing ministry in Tampa, and he's led millions of people to Jesus. His Bible college, he has like 500 students in his Bible college. They have a 12,000 seater pavilion, a 3,000 seater church, and last year he sowed $125,000 into Save the World Foundation. So he was like, he helped us, I mean, lead a lot of people to Jesus. So he's a man of incredible generosity, and he's such a forgiving person. Really, I can tell you, people that have talked trash about him, he loves them, he forgives them. Most of you would want to punch them. He's an amazing man of God. So I really want to encourage you. They're doing it at the Morris Cirillo Evangelism Center. Morris Cirillo, as you know, was a great man of God. He passed away in his 80s a few years ago. But they built a facility that must cost tens of millions of dollars because this place is like on another level of excellence. And I think it seats a few thousand people. So I'll send a mass text and a message. And if you want to spend the night, they haven't got a hotel on the property, but try to stay nearby because his meetings can go on and on and on. But they're very, very anointed. Also, good news, Save the World Foundation, our teams in Africa had a great week. I won't go too much into it. They did 24 school campaigns this week because it was a short week, and they led 18,023 students to Jesus. 18,000. That's like an auditorium full of people. So our ministry in South Africa is doing great. They're doing a great job. Amen. And we're very, very close, like super close to getting our farm. So please keep that in your prayers. Amen. Well, today I want to speak about strategies for battle. Are any of you in a battle? A battle with your husband? A battle with your wife? A battle in your finances? A battle in your health? A battle with your kids? With the government? With the economy? We all go through battles. With your parents. Cody said, with your parents. I love this kid. He's so smart. Thanks, Cody. I love you, my son. I love you. So we all go through battles in life. Now, when you're in a battle, you need to know what to do. Amen? So you kids, if you're battling with your parents, I'm going to give you wisdom. How to handle your parents. Are you listening, Cody? So the first thing you need when you're going into a battle is you need a plan. It's so important to have a plan when you are in a battle or you're going into a battle. What's your plan? And when you're going into battle, you need to decide at what level do you want to compete? Because they're different levels. In business, in life, in ministry, in sports, what level do you want to compete? And one of my mentors used to say, every level, there's another devil. So every level has a devil. So the higher you go, the more you might seem to be under attack because the devil doesn't want you to do big things for the Lord. He wants you to just go to church, warm the pew, don't ruffle any feathers, don't tell anyone about Jesus, don't stand up for righteousness, don't give any money. They want your money. That church, they want your money. Don't give. The devil is attacking you at every level, but we don't care because we have the victory. Read the back of the book. We win. The devil gets thrown into the lake of fire. So we ultimately win, but you are going to receive a reward in heaven. I think I need to teach on the reward system because there are rewards in heaven. So what level do you want to compete? Now, I don't want to bore you, but like I know tennis. So I know the ultimate is you want to be a professional. But when I'm speaking to parents who have a passion for tennis and they've got little Johnny or little Sarah, and you know, I see them at the tournaments and some of the parents get frustrated and some of the kids come off crying. And I always want to be a blessing. It's a ministry. Tennis is a ministry. So we minister to these parents, some of the kids. But I always try to find out from the parent or the kid, like, how good do you want to be? Now, some kids just want to play in socially. Some kids want to play on the high school team. Some kids, and this is in any sport, want to be college players. But then some kids want to be professionals. So when you're going into battle, you need to know what is your plan to get you to where you want to go. Because everyone has different ambitions. Everyone has a different plan and a purpose for their life. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. So in orchestrating your battle, you need to know what your plan is. Because unless you have a plan, you're going to be going around the mountain, going around the mountain. God wants us to go up the mountain. So what's your plan? Do you want to work for someone? Or do you want to work for someone and climb the corporate ladder? Or do you want to own your own business? Then you need a plan. I have a friend, an amazing guy. And he has no ambition to start his own company, but he's the guy you want running your company. He's the CEO or he's the chief operating officer of big hotel groups. And he loves going in, bringing structure, bringing order, training the teams, making sure the guests have the most incredible experience of their life. But he doesn't want to start his own company because God hasn't put that in his heart. He loves working in a company. But if you take someone where God has put it in their heart to own their own company and they're working for someone, it's good to have that season of training. But if you're meant to be owning your own company, but you're working for someone too long, you're going to start becoming miserable. So you need to know what is the plan. So the Bible says in Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2, then the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision down. Whatever you believe God is calling you to do, write it down. I may just do it. It would be a first. I haven't seen people do this. But I said to Cody and Zach and their coach, listen, I'm going to make banners. And on the banner, it's going to have Wimbledon champion, Cody Davidoff, Wimbledon champion, Zach Davidoff, and the date that they're going to win Wimbledon. And every day we get to tennis, we put up the banners. Boys, we're working for that goal. Write the vision down. Write the vision down. So if you want to own a certain kind of a business, go to the bookstore, get some magazines, cut out some pictures of what you want your business to look like. If you're going to be a property developer, cut out pictures of property. If you're going to be an ice cream shop owner, cut out pictures of ice cream shops, put it on your wall, keep the vision before you, write the vision down. I'm going to own 10 ice cream stores in the next 10 years. Now, I'm not prophesying over anyone, okay? With the ice cream stores, although it may, who knows? Write the vision down, make it plain. Don't complicate it, make it plain. Richard Branson, who owns Virgin and all those Virgin companies, he says, you know, if your business plan can't be on one page, I'm not even going to read it. It needs to be simple. It says, write the vision down, make it plain on tablets. Habakkuk saw a vision of Apple tablets. This guy was on point thousands of years before. Maybe Steve Jobs was reading this. Someone told me, read it, make it plain on tablets. Tablets? Tablets, that's not a bad. I think we should go to Apple. Steve, can we sue Apple and say you got the idea from the church? Tablets, write it plain on tablets. We want 10% of the $2 trillion company. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. I always have this image of he who reads it. Whoever reads it is going to be so excited, they're going to take off running because your vision is so powerful. For the vision is for an appointed time. You need to know the time for that specific vision to be accomplished and be faithful up until that vision becomes a reality. If you're faithful with one talent, God will give you two. You're faithful with two talents, God will give you five. So the ultimate vision is for an appointed time. And at the end, it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Be patient. Be patient. Don't sit back and do nothing. Work your ground. Keep being faithful. But don't give up. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So these are strategies to win the battle. Number two, when you're going into battle in the natural, in the spiritual, number two, be prepared. Be prepared means be organized. According to the Small Business Administration Office of Advocacy's most frequently asked questions, roughly 80% of small businesses survive the first year. So only 80% survive the first year. However, from there on, the number falls sharply. Only about half of small businesses survive past the five-year mark, ranging from 45.4% to 51%, depending on the year of the business was started. Beyond that, only about one in three businesses get to the 10-year mark and live to tell the tale. So why don't businesses, why don't ministries, why don't families, why don't marriages, why doesn't anything ultimately survive? Because we haven't prepared. We haven't strategized. We haven't put structure in place. We haven't worked to get to where we want to get to. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Now, that's concerning the word, but I like what it says, be diligent. So what does diligent mean? Be hardworking. Arrive on time. Leave on time. Go the extra mile. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And I think this is probably the easiest time in the history of the world to be successful, because there's so many snowflakes in society. There's so many people. I mean, Lucinda will get an au pair to come. She'll speak to the au pair. This is through a legitimate organization. The au pair's meant to arrive at 6 o'clock at the church on a Wednesday to look after Liam. We've texted, she's spoken to them, all is organized. Lucinda will text at 6 o'clock, listen, I'm running 15 minutes late. At 6:15, the person is like, I had to leave, I don't feel safe. You don't feel safe in Irvine. You don't feel safe in the parking lot. Come on, snowflakes. That was 2 weeks ago. This Wednesday, same thing. We arrive in at 6. If we run in late, please speak to Terry. You're going to be looking after our little boy. The person doesn't even show up. People are so slack. When we were growing up, I'm 50. Those of us, if you didn't show up, it would be bringing shame to your family. You would be scared of, it wouldn't even cross your mind not just to show up. Sorry, I can't make it, family emergency, please forgive me. They just don't show up. So I'm telling you, if you work hard, if you diligent, you keep your word, you thank the person, thank you for giving us this job, thank you for the contract, we're going to be the best people you've ever worked with, call me day and night, here's my home number, my email, my this, my that, my Facebook, my Instagram, we will be there for you. So I got a friend, Kevin, and Kevin's friend had a passion for exterminating bugs. He was a mass murderer for bugs. So Kevin's friend, this friend of mine who lives in Arizona, so his friend said, listen, I'm telling you, I love killing these bugs. I'm passionate about killing these bugs. Please, I need money to start my company. So Kevin knew the guy from church, blah, 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 blah. Now, just because someone goes to church, that doesn't mean you must invest with them, right? But he knew the guy, he had a track record, and they started this company. This guy ran it. Kevin was a 50-50 partner. So Kevin told me the story. So what happened was, this Hollywood producer in Beverly Hills had a bug problem in his house on like a Sunday afternoon or something. He called everyone. Can you help? Can you help? No, sorry, sir. Sunday, we'll come tomorrow. So this producer called their company. Thank God the person that picked up the phone. Now you want a staff member like this. Sir, we will be there in the next 20 minutes. This person shot over to the Hollywood producer's house, did what he had to do. He did a hit on the bugs, took out the bugs. Bugs were gone. The producer was so grateful. The producer called Kevin Monday morning and said, you don't know, but I do reality TV shows. A lot of the famous Hollywood reality TV shows. I want to do a reality TV show on bug exterminators. And I want to promote you and your company because you killed my bugs. Because of that, the company grew. They got Disney contracts. They got this contract. The exposure was so big. They sold the company for like $30 million. Because the right staff member picked up the phone and was diligent. So pick up that phone. You never know who's calling you. 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and teaching. I like what it says, be ready in season and out of season. Be prepared. You never know when opportunity is going to come knocking. Rather be prepared and you're waiting for an opportunity than you're waiting for an opportunity and when it presents itself, you're not prepared. So be prepared. Put in the time, put in the effort. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when you go out to battle against your enemies, on the 21st century, you can say your competitors. When you go out to battle against your competitors and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, you start in your business. You start in your situation, but they have citywide, statewide, nationwide locations. How are we going to compete with these people? The Bible says, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. That's the confidence we have. God is with us, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle. So when you're on the verge of battle, that's like launching your preparation, launching your career, launching your business, your ministry, launching your new product or service. When you're on the verge of battle, so you've put in the preparation, you are prepared. Then the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies." So you're about to launch. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified of them. That's your competitors, the economy. For the Lord your God is with you, who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, against your competitors, to save you. Amen. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, because that's where the enemy comes. That's where the battlefield is. The battle minds are, they're in your mind. Be sober, which means be alert, be attentive, and rest your hope fully upon the grace which is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So be sober. That means be alert, be attentive. And then finally, Ezekiel 38, prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies. I think Ezekiel was also a businessman. These are Jewish boys. Habakkuk is write the vision down, tablets. Now Ezekiel's saying, prepare yourself and be ready. You and all your companies. Companies. How many want to have companies that are gathered about you and be a guard to them? So we need to prepare. Whatever God is calling you to do, prepare. Equip yourself. If He's calling you to be a man of God, a woman of God, you need to know the Bible. It's advisable, but not necessary to go to Bible college, take courses, listen to preachers and teachers, go to conferences, equip yourself for ministry. If it's business, it's not necessary, but it can be good if you can go to college or do an apprenticeship somewhere or work in a company that believe in training people. Some of the top billionaires in the world have said it's better to finish, say, high school. Go into a company that believes in mentorship, that has in-house training, than going to a college and listening to a lecturer who's been there for 30 years, who doesn't know current situations. How are they going to teach you about business if they've never owned a business? So sometimes we like to have whatever name of whatever college. And that may open the door. But within the first month, that company, that CEO, the marketing guys, the sales guys, they're going to see if you got, if you've got what you're showing. They think, wow, you know, this person went to this dynamic college, but they're going to see how you talk to customers, how you are in a board meeting, how you organize things, how you plan a meeting, how you plan a project. The third thing, because we're talking about strategies. Strategies is what do you do to win the battle? Now, one thing you need when you're going into battle is you need to be resourced. Luke 14:28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he's laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes to him with 20,000? So you need to be resourced. So I thank God for Philippians 4:19 that says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now to God the Father be glory forever and ever. And my God. I don't know quite. I need some work if I'm going to join a gang. And my God shall supply all, some, a little, 10%, 30%, all your need. What do you need to do what God's called you to do? What do you need financially? What do you need spiritually? What do you need with the right connections, the right team? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. I remember one friend, he was a Muslim. Thank God he got radically saved. And he started generously supporting our ministry in South Africa. And then his sister started supporting our ministry. And I was speaking to his sister the one day. And she said, oh, my husband lost his job or whatever. And please, can you pray? I said, listen, if I could connect your husband with the three richest billionaires, Warren Buffett, Carlos Slim at the time, someone else, would he like to meet with them for 1 hour a day? From 8 to 9, he meets with them. She said, oh, of course, maybe thinking I know these people, right? I said, I know someone greater than them, God. Let your husband meet with God every morning for 1 hour and get direction from him, and God will show you, your husband, what to do. And now he's doing very well. So when you connect it to God, God will show you what to do, because he loves us more than we even love our natural kids. All of us would do anything for our natural kids. You know, if someone was trying to grab them, snatch them, kill them, we take a bullet for them. Maybe some of you are like, I don't know, my son, I don't know if I'm, he hasn't been treating me too well. But I would for you, Cody. So be resourced. Trust the Lord for your resources. And my final thing for today, and there's so many, but I'll just touch on this, is when you're going into battle, you want to have the right team. The dream team. I was watching Rambo the one time. I've told you guys a story. Forgive me if I've told you for the 10th time. But I'm watching Rambo, and Rambo says to the Afghan guy, the shepherd guy, what is it? How have you guys managed to fight off all these armies that have come against you. And you, I mean, you're so outnumbered. How have you managed to do it? And the guy said in the Rambo movie, the prince said, it's better to have 5 lions than 500 sheep. So you have to have the right team. Joshua 23:10, one man of you shall chase 1,000. Oh no, I've still got 13 minutes. Yeah. One man of you shall chase 1,000. Sure, you're trying to put pressure on me here. That's my fourth point. This could take, I've got 13 minutes left. One man shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised. And two shall chase 10,000. So one chases 1,000, two chase 10,000. How many is three going to chase? Four going to chase? How is Save the World Foundation able to lead over 500,000 kids a year to the Lord? We have a great team. It's not just about Jared, it's about team. Teamwork makes the dream work. So God wants to bless you with an amazing team. Trust him for your team. If you're in the sports world, trust him for a team. You need the right coach, nutritionist, strength and conditioning. You need the right opportunities. You need the right academy, this and that. If you're in business, trust him for the best marketing guy, the best salespeople, the best accountant, the best Jewish accountant, the best Jewish lawyer, the best salespeople. I could go into some cultures, but I won't, because America is a bit different to Africa. Because there's some people that are good at selling things. Okay, I'm not going to go there. So you need the right team. Now, remember David, he killed Goliath. And he was made commander of the army by Saul. But there were a lot of enemies. A lot of countries that hated the Israelites. They still hate the Israelites. But David had what was called mighty men. He had mighty men. How many mighty men? King David? 37 mighty men. David's mighty men. These are the names of the mighty men of David. Now, I may not go through all of them, but like you guys know the movies I like. I'm gonna tell you about each of these 37 men. I know the history, the family, the cousins, what high school they went to, their favorite snack. So, Lord, please stretch my 10 minutes. I've got 10 minutes left. So you've all watched movies like Braveheart. How many enjoyed watching Braveheart? That was great. Lots of people died in Braveheart. Then Joan of Arc. How do you do it like this? Is it like this or the thumb? The former gang members, is it the thumb? Thumb. Huh? Oh, the present gang members, you say. The former gang members, present. If you're in a gang, I've got the best gang. When we did our first outreach in Compton, Lucinda and I, before our kids were born, our first outreach was in Compton. Hallelujah. Compton shall be saved. So we're in the planning meetings. They're saying, Pastor Jared, Lucinda, we don't know how this is going to go down. You can see they're struggling to set. You know, you're a little bit light in complexion. We don't know how it's going to go down. There are lots of gangs here. There's this gang and that gang. I said, listen, guys, these gangs are nothing. My gang, I was obviously acting. My gang is the fiercest gang in Compton. No one messes with us. Our gang is called the Landlords. It's a Jewish gang. You mess with me, I'll evict you. I'll evict your mother, your father, your cousins. I'll evict your whole family out of all our buildings. Don't mess with me. The landlords. These are the names of the mighty men of David. Josheb, Bashebeth. Couldn't it be Bob, Kevin? The Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Esnite because he killed 800 men at one time. 800. You hold a sword and take a dead cow and try to slash it 800 times. After 20, you'll be so exhausted. He killed 800 men in one battle. Imagine you got a salesman that makes 800 sales in 1 month. It's the anointing. After him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo. Oh, Lord. This kid must have been bullied at school. But they bullied the wrong kid. He was one of the three mighty men of David when they defied the Philistines who gathered there, blah, blah, blah. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. So Dodo's hand was weary. I can just imagine like the Braveheart kind of a scene. They're the 37. There's this big army. The three mighty men. Listen, it's your last chance. Get out of here. We're going to kill you guys. What? And then one of the Philistines, what's your name? Who am I speaking to? I go by Dodo. I can imagine that Philistine was killing himself. Oh my gosh. Attack! It's like, and you can, I'm sure David was like, he's mighty men. Like, listen, we'll easily take them out. They're only 10,000. We'll easily. But what are we going to do to bait them? Send out Dodo to meet them in the middle. You want to fight? What's your name? What's your name, Israelite? Dodo. Oh, my gosh. He arose and attacked the Philistine. His hand was weary. He brought about a great victory that day. How many did he kill? Doesn't say. But he was one of the three mighty men. But these were literally guys, I'm just looking at the end, they killed hundreds each, 37. So rather have 37 mighty people in your church, in your company, in your organization, in your army, than hundreds or thousands that are, at the first sign of fear, they're going to run. Yeah, you don't want the woke Christians. They love church until the power of God hits and someone gets healed. Oh, but I was taught that healing was done away with. Or they see someone fall under the power of God. Oh, no, I was taught, you don't want those people. And you know what? We've had amazing Christians in our church, but when the temperature got too hot, they ran to a more gospel light situation. We gospel heavy, you know, gospel light. So when you're looking for a team member, I've got 4 minutes. These are the 17 things you look for. Number one. You need a team member that believes in your vision for your company, your product, or you're an athlete. Do you want a team around you? They believe you're going to be the Super Bowl champion. You need a team member that's gifted in an area and make sure you put them in the right area. You need a team member that serves the Lord. Amen. A team member that's helpful and a team member that's loyal. So David had those kinds of people. Because in the natural, why do you want to be with David when you can be with Saul? Okay, thank you, brother. You can come up. My wife is like. So when you're going into battle, go into battle with the right team members that are going to believe in the vision, add value to the vision. In the natural, it may seem like the vision tarries, but for an appointed time. Imagine the doubters and the naysayers when Jeff Bezos started Amazon. Imagine the early days of Amazon. You're in the garage, and when someone ordered a book, the bell went. Then they sourced the book, they packaged all the books, and in the early days, Jeff himself would go to the post office and drop off all the ordered books. Those were the early days. The early days for any company, for any ministry, you need the right team. I thank God we have the right team. Amen? And I pray to God that He gives you in your life, your ministry, the right team. People that will help you. People that will run around for you. People that will encourage you, support you. Drive you somewhere if you need to be driven. I've got a great team member in Lucinda. Amen? Hallelujah. She's a great wife, but she's a great team member. Amen. I remember when Lucinda first joined the ministry, she was a high-powered CPA in Europe, earning a big fat salary, but she wanted to take a year off just to relax from the corporate world. So she took a 90% pay cut to join Jared. And the team, and in those days, I mean, I've calmed down a lot, but I was a rough guy, a rough diamond. To be a true crusade evangelist, you're preaching in townships, you have to be a bit of a rough diamond. And so Lucinda joined our ministry, and I thank God, great, we're having the super high-powered CPA. But then she wanted to do things in the ministry, like bring order, bring structure. What is happening here? Because all my information was sitting on my computer. Freddie's information was on his computer. We all had information. Now she wanted to do something where it's all on a network and we can access this remotely and the cloud and all of, like, she's no, I don't want to do that. So sometimes God will send the right person to you, and because you're not used to it, it's going to make you feel a bit uncomfortable, but God knows what you need. God knows the right people that need to come into your life, and often, if the Lord really loves you, He'll send a brutally honest person. You don't want a bunch of yes people around you. You want a brutally honest person. Sometimes I wish these brutally honest people, you know who these people, kind of people are. You want maybe one of these brutally, there's like no filter. It's a Simon Cowell, Donald Trump anointing. You just give it to them. Just add a little bit of fluff, please, guys. A little bit of fluff. But sometimes I'm like that, so I don't want to seem like a hypocrite. But you need those people in your life because those people will help push you to bring change in your life. And those kinds of people have that gift of discernment. Just by talking to you, they know where you are. They know what you need. And they're going to advise you. They're going to convict you. And when the conviction comes, it's uncomfortable. It's like, oh, I'm feeling irritated now. I don't want to be around this person. No, because you need to hear what God really wants to tell you. And as guys know, it's normally the wife. I had a friend who had a ringtone when his phone would ring when it was his wife. The wife, it's the wife. The wife, it's the wife. But the Lord knows that the wives know us best. But just be a little bit nicer to us, okay? So strategies to win the battle, the Lord wants you to win the battle, amen? And He'll give you, and I believe today's sermon has helped you to bring strategies to help you win the battle. Amen? Remember, Goliath made David famous. The bigger the battle that you overcome, the greater the reward. And the reward from the Lord. Amen? Okay, let's close our eyes. Father God, thank you so much for your word that says, the battle is the Lord's. You are the one that fights our battles, Lord. All we have to do is show up, and you will show off. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us strategies to win those battles, Lord. Whatever battles anyone is facing today, thank you that you have a solution for those battles, Father God. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bring victory to your people in whatever battle they are facing in the name of Jesus. Financial battles, spiritual battles, emotional battles, whatever addictions, whatever entanglements are trying to suffocate them, I break those entanglements. I come against those addictions in the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare that you have the victory in your life, in your mind, in your body, in your soul, in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that you have the victory in your marriage, that no weapon formed against your marriage will prosper, that no weapon formed against your children will prosper, spiritually, physically. In Jesus' name, you have the victory in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father God, thank you that you were the one that's responsible for giving us the ultimate victory for our souls, Lord. Jesus, you died on the cross to take our sins away. You were buried. Yet on the third day, you rose from the dead and you are alive. And your word says, whoever calls on your name will be saved. And maybe you're here today or you're watching or listening and you've never invited Jesus into your life to be your Lord, to be your Savior. You can do that right now. Or maybe one time in your life, you used to follow Jesus, used to live for Him, but things have happened in your life that have taken you away from Him. But today you want to recommit your life to Him. If that's you, if you want to receive Jesus for the first time or you want to recommit your life to Him, I want you to quickly put up your hand. Whether you're here personally or you're watching our show or on social media, just put up your hand. And pray this prayer after me. Let's pray this prayer in support of those that are praying this prayer. Say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross to take my sins away. I believe in my heart that you were buried And on the third day, you rose from the dead and you are alive. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.